Hello, and welcome back to Mama Rosalind's Place, a place where all are welcomed. So come on in, sit back, relax, and stay for a while. Each Tuesday, I will share a story or two with you, and each story that I share will be my interpretation of some of my favorite stories. Today, I will be sharing Mufaro's Beautiful Daughters by John Steptoe. A long time ago, in a certain place in Africa, a small village lay across a river and half a day's journey from a city where a great king lived. A man named Mufaro lived in this village with his two daughters, who were called Manyara and Niasha. Everyone agreed that Manyara and Niasha were very beautiful. Manyara, however, was always in a bad mood. She teased her sister whenever their father's back was turned. And she had been heard to say, on more than one occasion, "Someday, Niasha, I will be a queen, and you will be a servant in my household." "If that should come to pass," Niasha would often respond, "I will be pleased to serve you." "But why must you say such things? You are clever and strong and beautiful. Why are you so unhappy?" "Because everyone talks about how kind you are, and they praise everything you do," Manyara replied. "I'm certain that Father even loves you best. But when I am queen, everyone will know that your silly kindness is only weakness." Niasha was sad that Manyara felt this way, but she ignored her sister's words and went about her chores. Niasha kept a small plot of land on which she grew millet, sunflowers, yams, and vegetables. She always sang as she worked, and some said it was her singing that made her crops more bountiful and beautiful than anyone else's. One day, Niasha noticed a small garden mouse resting beneath a yam vine. "Good day, little Panya," she called to him. "You are welcome here. Would you please help protect my vegetables? I would appreciate it." She bent forward, gave the little mouse a loving pat on the head, and then returned to her work. From that day on, Panya was always at Niasha's side when she tended her garden. It was said that she sang all the more sweetly when he was there. Mufaro knew nothing of how Manyara treated Niasha. Niasha was too considerate of her father's feelings to complain, and Manyara was always careful to behave herself when Mufaro was around. Early one morning, a messenger from the city arrived. The king wanted a wife. "The most worthy and beautiful daughters in the land are invited to appear before the king, and he will choose one to become his queen," the messenger proclaimed. Mufaro called Manyara and Niasha to him. "Daughters, it would be a great honor to have one of you to be chosen," he said. "Prepare yourselves to journey to the city. I will call together all my friends to make a great wedding party. We will leave tomorrow as the sun rises."
"Oh, but father," Manyara said sweetly, "it would be painful for either of us to leave you, even to be the wife to the king. I know Niasha would grieve herself greatly if she were parted from you. I am strong. I can do it. Send me to the city and let poor Niasha be happy here with you. Father, I believe that is best."
Mufaro beamed with pride. "The king has asked for the most worthy and the most beautiful. No, my Manyara, I cannot send you alone. Only a king can choose between two such worthy daughters. Both of you must go." That night, when everyone was asleep, Manyara stole quietly out of the village. She had never been in the forest at night before, and she was frightened, but she agreed to be the first to appear before the king. So she kept going and kept going. She was greedy, and she knew in her heart that she should be the queen. She felt she was the only one worthy. She stumbled across a small boy who suddenly appeared in her path. "Please,"
said the boy. I am so hungry. Will you please give me something to eat?
I have bought only enough for myself,
Manyata replied. But please, please, I'm so hungry, said the boy. I am so very hungry.
Out of my way, boy. Tomorrow I will be your queen. How dare you stand in my path?
After traveling for what seemed to be a great distance, Manyata came to a small clearing. There, silhouetted against the moonlight, was an old woman seated on a large stone. The old woman spoke.
I will give you some advice, Manyata. Soon after you pass the place where two paths cross, you will see a grove of trees. They will laugh at you. You must not laugh in return.
Later, you will meet a man. He will look very strange and odd to you, but you still must be polite to him.
How do you know my name? How dare you advise your future queen? Stand aside, you ugly old woman!
Manyata scolded, and then rushed on her way without looking back. Just as the old woman had foretold, Manyata came to a grove of trees, and they did indeed seem to be laughing at her.
I must be calm. I must be calm. I will not be frightened.
She looked up at the trees, and she laughed at them.
I laugh at you, trees,
she shouted as she hurried on. It was not yet dawn when Manyata heard the sound of rushing water. The river must be up ahead, she thought. The great city is just on the other side. I'm almost there. But there, on the rise, she saw a man, and he did look rather strange. Manyata ran past him without even speaking. A queen acknowledges only those that are worthy of to be acknowledged by her, she said to herself.
I will be queen. I will be queen,
she chanted as she hurried and totally ignored the man. Nyasha woke at the first light of dawn. As she put on her finest garments, she thought how her life might be changed forever beyond this day.
I'd much prefer to live here, she admitted to herself. I'd hate to leave this village, never see my father, and not be able to sing to my little Ponya again.
Her thoughts were interrupted by loud shouting and commotion. It seemed to be coming from the wedding party assembled outside.
Manyata was missing. Everyone was shouting and calling for her.
No one could seem to find her. But then someone noticed her footprints, and they were leading towards the city. They all decided to carry on as planned. As the wedding party moved through the forest, bright plumed birds darted about in the cool green shadows beneath the trees. Though anxious about her sister, Nyasha was soon filled with excitement about all there was to see. They were deep in the forest when she saw a small boy standing by the side of the road.
You must be hungry, little one, she said,
and handed him the yam that she had brought for her lunch. The boy smiled and disappeared as quietly as he had come. Later, as they were approaching the place where the two paths crossed, the old woman appeared and silently pointed the way to the city. Nyasha thanked her and gave her a small pouch filled with sunflower seeds. The sun was high in the sky when the party came to the grove of towering trees. Their uttermost branches seemed to bend and bow to make shade for Nyasha and her party to pass beneath them. At last, someone announced that they were near the city. Nyasha ran ahead. She stood at the top of the rise, and she looked down.
Oh, my father! Just look at what lies before us! I never in all my life dreamed there could be anything so beautiful!
Arm in arm, Nyasha and her father descended the hill, crossed the river, and approached the city gate. Just as they entered through the great doors, the air... Oh my gosh, there was a piercing sound! Manyata ran wildly, running out of the chambers of the center of the enclosure. When she saw Nyasha, she fell to her feet, sobbing.
Do not go to the king, my sister! Oh, please, father, please don't let her go!
she cried. There's a hideous man there. He's so crazy. Father, he said that I was mean. He said he knew all my faults and that I displeased him. Father, I ran as fast as I could. He would have harmed me for certain if I had not run. Oh, my sister, please do not go inside that place. Please.
It frightened Niasha to see her sister so upset. But leaving her father to comfort Manyara, she bravely made her way through the chamber and opened the door. On the seat of the great chief's stool lay the little garden mouse, Panya. She laughed with relief and joy. My little friend, it's such a pleasure to see you. But why are you here?
I am the king, Panya replied. And there before Niasha's eyes, her little garden mouse changed into a handsome, tall, chocolate king. I am also the hungry boy with whom you shared a yam in the forest, and the old woman to whom you made a gift of sunflower seeds. But you know me best as Panya. Because I have been all of these, I know you to be the most worthy and most beautiful daughter in all the land. It would make me very happy if you would be my queen. And so it was that a long time ago, Niasha agreed to be married. The king's mother and sisters took Niasha to their house and the wedding preparations began. The best weavers in the land laid out their finest cloth for her wedding garments. Villagers from all around were invited to the grand celebration and a great feast was held. Niasha prepared the bread for her own wedding feast from the millet that came from her garden. Mufaro proclaimed to all who would hear him that he was the happiest father in the land, for he was blessed with two beautiful and worthy daughters, Niasha the queen and Manyara the queen's servant. The end. Well, my friends, I hope that you enjoyed today's story, and I hope that you'll return next Tuesday for another one. You can contact me at mamaroslyns@gmail.com. That's mamaroslyns@gmail.com. Today, I would like to leave you with this. Exterior beauty without the depth of a kind soul is merely decorations. As always, be blessed.